Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Bone Collector. I'm Patty and I'm the Bone Collector. Last week we're supposed to have our premiere episode on Blog Talk Radio, and something was wrong with our microphone. It didn't record. Nobody could hear it live. So I didn't want everybody to miss out on an awesome show, so we're going to do it again tonight. The title is Life of Pocahontas, the Disney princess. Now, most of us know about Pocahontas only because of the movie. If you look up on Disney's website, their description of the movie is that it is loosely based on an actual Native American woman named Pocahontas. I'm going to show you how loosely based it is and the differences between a fairy tale and real life. Now, in the movie, everybody has to have seen at least once. If you have children, you've seen it about 500 times, 20 times a day, over and over and over again. Pocahontas was to marry Kokoum, who was a warrior in her tribe, of which her father was the chief. Before the two could be married, she meets John Smith, and he's a settler from England in Jamestown, which was close to the village, and they began talking and spending time together. And she soon realized that she couldn't marry Kokoum because her heart belonged to Smith. They kept their meetings in secret because she was afraid of what her father and the others in the village would think. But when she snuck out to go to one of the meetings, Kokoum follows her and discovers the two lovers. A fight ensues between Kokoum and Smith, and Pocahontas tries to break up the fight. And in the confusion, one of Smith's men fires a shot and kills Kokoum. Smith takes all the blame. He figures he'll go back to the Indian village. I guess he's going to think that nothing is going to come of this. And he's going to go back to the village and whisper to his father, smooth all over, and everything will be good. There is already some kind of friction between the colonists of Jamestown and the Native Americans. So when Smith gets to the village, her father orders him to be executed. The choice method of execution is beheading. Just as the warrior who has a machete-type blade is about ready to remove Smith's head, Pocahontas throws herself over Smith, knowing that they would not strike her with the blade. Her father sees how much she loves Smith and releases him, just like in any fairy tale. While all this is going on, the governor of Virginia, his name is Ratcliffe, the governor of the Virginia colony, appears on the scene and has the intent to kill Pocahontas' father, thinking that that would take care of all the problems that the colony has with the Native Americans. The leader, there won't be any retaliation. Smith sees that Ratcliffe is going to shoot her father and jumps in front of him and takes the bullet. Now, Smith isn't injured mortally. He's not going to die, but he's called back. He has to go back to England. His time in Jamestown is done, so he's going to England, and he begs Pocahontas to come back with him. And this is where it gets all sappy and all total Disney princess fairy tale, as she tells him that her place is in Virginia with her people, but they will always have each other in their hearts. She kisses him. He's carried on a gurney onto the ship, and he sails away. The end. That's the end of Pocahontas. They fall in love. Their love is allowed by her father, but fate doesn't have them being together. Now, as I stated, it's told that Pocahontas is loosely based on a real person. This is where truth and fiction meet. Okay, Pocahontas was a Native American woman in the Powhatan tribe, and her father was the chief. The other crickets? They're chirping pretty loudly because that's it. Nothing else. No other part of the movie, the Disney movie, accurately portrays Pocahontas' life. Her life definitely was not a fairy tale. It was very hard, and it was not at all what you would have expected based on the movie, and that would have, and it being your only knowledge of Pocahontas. In 1613, Pocahontas was 17 years old, and her father was the chief of a conglomerate of Indian villages, and she was on her way to visit one of these other villages when she was abducted. She was supposed to be guarded and escorted by men from one of these villages, but the colonists from Jamestown had made a deal with that village that was supposed to be protecting her, that if they helped them capture Pocahontas, that they would help the village take on her father and gain control. So she was taken captive, and she was held on a plantation in a home along the James River in Jamestown. While she was held captive, she learned English, and because she was a Native American, believed that she was a heathen, so she was forced to convert to Christianity, and she was baptized and given a new name, and to be used instead of her Native American name, and she was baptized as Rebecca. Now, across the river, the James River from where Pocahontas was being held, was a man named John Rolfe, who had a tobacco plantation named a farm. He had recently come to Jamestown from England, but he didn't leave England alone. He left with his wife and child, but on a stop along the route from England to Jamestown, his wife and child, while they were in Bermuda, became ill and they died. So he ended up building his plantation by himself, and he was kind of looking for a companion, like most of them do. Back then, it was not uncommon for somebody, a man, to have a wife, and the wife died, and he very shortly after married again, and if that wife died, he married again and again. So sometimes you would see that one man would have four or five wives, and they all died. Jeff met Pocahontas a couple of occasions, and he became smitten. Smitten is pretty much as far as it goes. Because she was in a Virginia colony, he wanted to marry her to fill the void of his wife, deceased wife, and because she was a captive, a prisoner, he had asked permission to marry her get the permission from the governor. And he used loosely, he used the reasoning for love, which in his statement that he wrote in the letter to the governor, he really didn't have much. And to save her savage soul, because she was a Native American, she definitely, in their eyes, was not going to heaven. She was going to be trapped in purgatory. You needed to save her in order for her to, you know, her soul to matter. Part of the letter that he sent the governor read that he was motivated not by the unbridled desire of carnal action. Basically meant that his intent was to marry her wasn't because he was in love with her, but it was for the good of his reputation. He needed somebody to take care of the house and bear him children, for the honor of our country, for the glory of our God, and for my own salvation, and namely Pocahontas, to whom my hearty and best thoughts are and have been a long time so entangled and enthralled, so intricate a labyrinth that I was even awearied to unwind myself thereout. Basically, he just wanted somebody to help him run his household, keep his bed warm, and bear his children, but also to be used for whatever the colony needed to further their cause. Now, we all see that it was a heartfelt and convincing letter of love and devotion. That was a subtle hint of sarcasm. It definitely was not a Shakespearean declaration of love at all. There was no passion. I'm so in love with this woman, I have to marry her. None of that was there. Now, the governor saw the proposal for what it was. It was a partnership that would secure peace and prosperity within the Virginia colony. It would keep the peace with her father's Indian villages. The request was granted, and on April 5th, 1614, John Rolfe and Pocahontas were married, and 8 months later, they had a son named Thomas. Now, the Virginia colony needed an infusion of capital to continue their work in the colony, which in part was to convert all of the natives to Christianity. There were quite a few missionaries in Jamestown, and they felt that just as the Jesuit priests did when they came to North America earlier, was to convert the natives. They intended to use Pocahontas for financial gain. They were going to use her as an example of the work that they had done in order for people to give them more money. On June 16, 1616, Ralph and Pocahontas, or Rebecca, and their son, along with an entourage of women, poets, and Indians from her village, arrived in England. And pretty much Pocahontas was paraded around as an investment tool. She was like a sideshow act, an attraction. Even her husband billed her as the civilized savage. Now, Pocahontas soon became the toast and the talk of the town. Everybody wanted to have her at their house. Everyone wanted to have her at their party and an event because she was an attraction, because she was something new and exciting that they hadn't seen before. Come see the savage from the New World. In fact, she even got to meet the king, King James of England, though she didn't know that he was the king. But the king knew her. The king believed that she was royalty from North America because her father was a chief. Her father was somewhat his equal. Now, the trip was a success, and the Rolfe made plans to return to Jamestown and to the Virginia Company, leaving from London. Now, the voyage took from London down the Thames, I'm assuming all the way to the ocean, where they would go across the Atlantic Ocean to Jamestown. And within 26 miles into the voyage, maybe a day, two, maybe three, Pocahontas became very sick. And she was taken ashore at Gravesend. And after she was ashore at Gravesend, her husband and son continued on their journey home. So she was left alone in a foreign land. She hadn't been there long at all. And she died at the age of 21, alone, surrounded by strangers that she had no idea who they were or what was going to become of her, what had become of her son, what would ever become of her son. They believed that she died of pneumonia or smallpox, could possibly be tuberculosis, because if our history lessons in school have taught us anything, especially from the Spanish expeditions to Central America and South America, the French coming over, the English coming over from Europe, the Native Americans that were on those areas, North America, Central America, South America, were very susceptible to the diseases that they brought with them because they had never encountered them, so they never had immunity to them. So whatever she contracted in London was a mortal illness to her. Her funeral was held on March 21st, 1617, and she was buried at St. George's Church in Gravesend. Now, the legend has it that she was buried under the altar. She was a princess, remember? She was royalty in their eyes. She was buried under the altar, though that is not 100% certain, not able to be proven exactly where she's buried, because in the meantime, church had burned and was rebuilt, and they have no idea where her actual grave is. Reportedly, her dying words were, "All must die, but 'tis enough that my child lives." And Thomas did live. Thomas lived and ended up inheriting Verena Farm. He married Jane Aldrich and had a child named Jane, who married John Bowling, which began the long tradition of the Bowlings in America, which my passion of this story and her true life is because my father's family was a bowling family. As for the tease on, you'll never believe what her father did. Now, everybody has their favorite mystery that they never want to be solved. I have a few mysteries from history that I don't want to ever have the answer found, like what happened to Amelia Earhart. We don't need to know that. If somebody came and said we knew exactly what island her plane crashed on, and this is how she died, and we have proof, here's her bones, that would be horrible, because that's one of the greatest mysteries of our time. What happened to thinking empires? That nobody wants to know. What happened to that? It's a mystery. How did they make the Nazca Line? Now that's going to be a show you guys are going to want to tune into. Nobody wants to know that either. It's one of our greatest mysteries. My favorite mystery of all time is the disappearance of the lost colony of Roanoke. The colony of Roanoke, now I'm going to get to where this is connected to our Pocahontas subject. The colony of Roanoke was founded in 1587, and it was supposed to be the very first permanent settlement by the English in North America. John White, who led the expedition, came to North America with about 110 colonists, of which Mrs. Dare, Jenny Dare, was the very first English settler born on the North American continent. She was born just months after they had landed in North America and started to build their fortification and to settle Roanoke. Now, John White had to return to England in 1588 for supplies. They were running out of food. They were running out of building supplies. Everything that they needed to make the colony a success, he needed to get reinforcement up. Basically, what he said was, I'm going to the store and I'll be right back. We said that a million times. Came right back, sometimes with more than what we were supposed to go to the store for, but we came back. He left the colonists to fend for themselves, to their own devices, because he had to take part of that crew back with him, part of the colonists. So it was mainly the able-bodied men that could help with the ship. So who was left? The older men, the children, the women, and a few others that could support, hopefully defend the colony. During the time that he was gone, he was only supposed to be gone around a year. The Anglo-Spanish War broke out, and he could not chance sailing, taking a voyage across the ocean with that war going on, because he was putting his life, his crew, lives in danger, and he was ready that they would, all of their goods and the ship would be pirated. So it took 2 years for him to return to Roanoke. He came back in 1590, and when he landed, everybody was gone. There was no bodies, no signs of struggle, no signs of war, nothing. There was no trace that there had really ever been anybody there at all. The only clue was carved into the fort's wall. Now, Croatoan was a local island not far from the colony of Roanoke. So John White just figured that something had happened in Roanoke and that they were going to relocate to where it was safer. Whatever the danger was, they were going to get away from it. But he had every intention of going to Croatoan to see if that's where they went. A series of events kept him from traveling to the island. The ship lost an anchor. There was a violent storm that kept them from sailing. You name it, it was thrown in front of them to where they couldn't get to Croatoan to see what was going on. Now, a few years after Jamestown, after Roanoke was first settled and disappeared, Jamestown Colony was settled. And this is where John Smith comes into the whole thing. John Smith was one of the first settlers to Jamestown. And according to some records, he went to the local tribes. He was trying to find out. He was a scout. He was on a scouting expedition to find out who was the man in charge, air quote, of the Native Americans. And he was taken to Pocahontas' father. And during his visits with Pocahontas' father, he brought up the disappearance of the Roanoke colony. And Pocahontas' father took credit for the attack on the colony and the massacre of the colonists, though he didn't give an explanation as to why he ordered any of this to happen. Some believe that he was not responsible. If he was responsible, that would solve the mystery as to what happened to the colonists, but not why. That's my connection to Pocahontas. And you, me, couldn't believe what her father had done. Look at it from a genealogist, historian point of view. Imagine how excited you would be to find that you are related to a figure such as Pocahontas. And then imagine just coming like down this big giant roller coaster when you find out that one of the possibly greatest ancestors that you could find on your family tree, that her father was the one responsible for the making of your favorite mystery. So that was a little roller coaster ride. Yay, Pocahontas is my ancestor. Oh, but her father killed the colony of Roanoke. So that's the true story of Pocahontas. Now, if a movie was made about Pocahontas' actual life, you guys wouldn't let your kids watch that. I would. But I'm a little on the weird side. I would let my kids watch it. But Disney knew that they couldn't put that out there, so they made a happy, happy, this is a fairy tale princess story, and that's what you all receive. Of the Bone Collector. Next week's show, going back to Friday night, Friday nights at 7 o'clock is going to be our regular night for the Bone Collector, and the next episode is going to be the Aurora, Texas incident. UFOs, one of my favorite. We're going to talk about the spaceship crash in Aurora, Texas in 1897. But we're also going to talk about some presidential UFO sightings. And you'll be surprised on what they have recorded in history and how many of our founding fathers actually have seen spaceships and UFOs. And that's going to wrap it up for the first episode of The Bone Collector. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed being here and sharing my love of history to you. And you guys have a great night. I'll catch you next week.